Just Chibi the Podcast, presented by Just Chibi Productions.
Hi there, I'm your host Fondue.
And I'm Chibi.
It's Christmas Eve.
Yay!
In honor of the holiday, we're going to be doing a dramatic reading.
A cheesy reading?
Dramatic cheesy reading of "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Dramatic.
We're going to learn about St. Nick, sugar plums, and kerchiefs.
Okay.
We're going to talk about reindeer.
Ooh.
Don Dirt.
What?
Blixen.
Who?
Rudolph. Nose gestures and Thistle.
Okay.
And of course, no episode would be complete without our very cheesy joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay tuned for episode 110, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," on Just Cheesy the Podcast. We're going to be reading the poem, "A Visit from St. Nicholas."
Is that what it's called?
That's right, but it's colloquially known as "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Ah.
According to CeladonBooks.com, the poem "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" was actually written, so they think, by Clement Clark Moore for his children in 1822.
Whoa.
Apparently, he read it to his children on Christmas Eve, and a friend visiting from upstate New York was so impressed that she sent it to a newspaper editor who published it the following year.
Whoa.
The poem was attributed to Moore in 1837, which was 14 years after its original publication.
Wow.
He didn't claim it until 1844, and he included it in a book of poetry.
Oh.
And I guess the original poem that Moore wrote and signed for an acquaintance in 1860 sold for $280,000 to a Manhattan CEO in 2006.
Holy cow.
In 1828, Major Henry Livingston Jr.'s family claimed he was the real author, but they didn't have any physical evidence.
Whoa.
The poem is old enough that it's in the public domain.
Ooh.
So we're going to be reading from public-domain-poetry.com.
Okay.
Are you ready, Cheesy?
I am.
Here we go. "'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
You know, mice.
The stockings.
Mice don't really like cheese.
That's right. They don't love cheese like most people think.
Yeah.
And you can actually learn a little bit about that if you go back to season 1, episode 15.
Yeah.
Now let's start again.
Okay.
"'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there."
Who's St. Nicholas?
Well, according to Wikipedia, St. Nicholas is another name for Santa Claus.
Oh.
It says here that St. Nicholas of Myra was born in 270 A.D.
Whoa.
He was a Greek Christian bishop,
okay,
and he was from a maritime city of Myra in modern-day Turkey.
Whoa.
Lots of miracles are attributed to him.
Really?
But he is the patron saint of unmarried people,
whoa,
students, sailors, merchants, archers, repentant thieves,
okay,
brewers, pawnbrokers, and children.
Go Santa.
That's right. Go Santa. Okay, let's get back to the poem.
Okay.
"The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads."
Did you learn about a sugar plum?
Yes. As always, I learned something new when researching for the show. According to thedairyalliance.com, sugar plums are not plums.
I thought they were plums.
Yeah, I would have thought that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's even the Nutcracker song, "The Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy."
Yeah.
Still not plums.
Huh. Wow.
Apparently, a sugar plum is a piece of hard candy made of hardened sugar coating,
whoa,
and a seed, nut, or spice, or another fruit.
Whoa.
And the word plum was to refer to its size and oval shape, not its taste.
Wow.
And they also said back in the 1800s, these would have been for the very rich because they were very difficult to make.
Ooh la la.
The sugar coating had to be gradually built up over time in a process they call panning,
okay,
which means they had to repeat it. Up to 30 layers of sugar had to be added,
holy cow,
taking several days to create.
Wow.
Sugar plums didn't become available to the masses until the 1860s.
Whoa.
And the manufacturers created their own name for the candy, so the term sugar plum was phased out of popularity.
Wow.
"The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads.
Yum.
And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap."
What's a kerchief?
Well, a kerchief is sort of like a scarf. And I've read a few things, but I'm assuming it was either because A, it was for modesty.
Okay.
B, in this case, they're wearing it to bed, so it was either to protect the hair or to keep them warm. I mean, if Pa was in a cap, then I'm assuming it was pretty cold.
Yeah.
Okay. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash.
What's shutters and sash?
Shutters are wooden, either internal or external protection for a window, and the sash is the actual window. The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick.
Yeah.
More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came. He whistled and shouted and called them by name.
What's a courser?
I wondered the same. According to Wikipedia, a courser is a swift, strong horse.
Oh.
It says here it may have been derived from the Italian word corsiero, meaning battle horse.
Ooh.
I'm supposing in this context, you would think most of the time a sleigh would be pulled by horses, and here they're pulled by tiny reindeer.
Yeah.
More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came. He whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, Donder and Blixen.
Who? What?
Right? So according to theoklahoman.com, when Moore published his poems in 1844, the deer that we know as Donner was actually named Donder.
Ooh.
And there's even some accounts of him being called Dunder.
Dunder Mifflin.
But more than likely, his real name is Donder.
Okay.
Because it's a Dutch word for thunder.
Ooh.
According to a 1905 Dutch to English dictionary. And Moore's family was Dutch and lived in a city with deep Dutch roots, New York City.
Ah.
It appears online that Blitzen has also gone by the name Blixen,
really?
B-L-I-X-I-N.
Okay.
But I couldn't really seem to track down the origin.
Huh.
But we know him today as Blitzen.
What about Rudolph?
Well, Rudolph wasn't in this poem.
What?
And if you recall from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer animated movie, we know that Rudolph was pretty young.
Oh, yeah.
The department store Montgomery Ward began preparing for Christmas in 1939, almost a year in advance.
Oh.
And they told the original holiday story of Rudolph.
Wow.
So when this poem was written in the 1800s, Rudolph hadn't met the other deer yet.
Oh.
And the animated movie from 1963 had a lot to do with General Electric.
Really?
You see, they had an engineer named Nick Holinyak who developed the first LED light bulb capable of emitting visible red light.
Like Rudolph's nose.
GE spent the equivalent of about $4.5 million into the stop-motion movie.
Holy cow.
Of course, it wasn't just a Christmas movie. It was also to push some ads like an electric toaster, an electric can opener, and an electric blanket.
Of course.
And there's a really great article on SmithsonianMag.com about the making of the movie.
Ooh.
Okay. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof.
Ooh.
As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound.
Whoa.
He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, he looked like a peddler just opening his pack.
Ooh.
His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry.
Ooh.
His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath.
Ew.
Hey, kids, don't smoke.
Yeah, no.
Just because Santa did back in the 1800s, they didn't know any better.
Yeah.
He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself.
Yeah.
A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
Yeah.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk.
They had stockings then?
Well, according to ChristmasHQ.com, stockings really weren't mentioned in the United States until this poem.
Whoa.
And they originally weren't fancy at all. Kids would just hang long socks over the mantle to be filled with nuts, fruits, candies, and small toys.
Ooh.
It's likely that the stockings were hung in front of the fireplace in order to dry them after being washed.
Ah.
In some countries, they put out shoes instead of stockings.
Really?
In France, they put their shoes by the fireplace with a carrot or treat for Pierre Noël's donkey.
Okay.
And they wake up with candy, money, and small toys in the place of the things that they left.
Really?
In Ecuador, they put Christmas lists inside of their shoes.
Ooh.
In Iceland, they leave their shoes on the windowsill.
Whoa.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose.
Why'd he touch his nose?
On a website called superlinguo.com, the author has some theories about the nose tap gesture.
Okay.
In the UK, the nose tap is sort of a metaphor for sniffing out trouble.
Ooh.
Or a way of signaling knowledge that someone is clever.
Okay.
In the context in the poem, they think it means secret.
Ooh.
In the poem, he gives a nod and puts his finger on his nose, which would probably convey to keep Santa's secret, since Pa should actually still be in bed when Santa comes to deliver the presents.
Yeah, he should.
And giving a nod up the chimney, he rose.
Yep.
He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle.
Down on a thistle.
According to Merriam-Webster.com, this is the ripe flower head of a thistle.
Okay.
It looks to me a little bit like what a dandelion does when it's ready to blow away its seeds.
Ah.
He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle.
Hmm.
But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
I'm ready for a joke fondue.
Okay. What is a snowman's favorite type of cheese?
I don't know.
Brie. Get it? Brie. I know.
Not a great
It wasn't
one.
Great, but it was a little bit cheesy. Thanks for listening to us butcher a very old poem. For those who celebrate, have a very Merry Christmas.
Stay cheesy, everybody.
Have you ever wanted to listen to the web?
Yeah.
Well, Newsly makes that possible.
They do?
They're an all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android.
Super app.
You can listen to trending articles on the web on topics that you choose and get them read to you in a natural human voice.
What kind of topics?
Sports,
cheese?
Tech, business,
cheese.
Science.
Cheese?
I'm sure there's even cheese.
Yay!
They even have an entire section for podcasts.
Are we there?
Of course we are.
Ooh.
It's one of my new favorite podcast apps. They even have digital radio.
Holy cow.
Just go to www.newsly.me to download it free.
Whoa.
Or use the link in the description. If you use the promo code CHEESY,
Cheesy.
That'll get you 1 month free premium subscription.
Yay, Newsly.
Now, back to the podcast.